what we have. And we'll start reading in verse 1. The words of Agur, the son of Jacob, the oracle. The man declares, I am weary, O God. I am weary, O God, and worn out. Surely I am too stupid to be a man. I have not the understanding of a man. I have not learned wisdom, nor have I knowledge of the Holy One. Who has ascended to heaven and come down? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has wrapped up the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name? Surely you know. Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. Well, thus ends the reading of God's very word. Let's pray. Oh Lord, again we acknowledge our utter dependence on you to come and to be our teacher. We cannot understand your word left to ourselves. We cannot make good use of it left to ourselves. We cannot change ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. But we turn to you, our creator and sustainer. We turn to you, our lawgiver and the judge of all the earth. We turn to you as our redeemer. Lord, asking that you would come by your blessed Holy Spirit and that you would write the word of your mouth upon our hearts and lives, that we would know you, Lord Jesus, and be alive in you and walking with you and bearing forth much fruit for your praise. Oh Lord, please be in our midst and bless us now. And Lord, show us more of your glory as we look at your word together. Capture us with your gospel, Lord Jesus, we beg. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, these two verses of Scripture, in a very real sense, are talking about the overarching theme of the book of Proverbs, and that is, where will we find wisdom? And the book of Proverbs begins in chapter 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so verse 7 is repeated, and that was the first text that we read in Proverbs chapter 9. Verse 10, and we see that wisdom is wrapped up in knowing God. In Proverbs 9, verse 10, we read, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Now, Hebrew poetry is a little bit different from poetry in our own culture. Hebrew poetry, instead of rhyming in poetry with the cadence or words that sound alike, Hebrew poetry would rhyme in thoughts. And so there were basically three types of rhymes that Hebrew poetry would have. You would either have a proverb that would rhyme by saying the same thing. Or you would have a Hebrew proverb in Hebrew poetry that would rhyme by saying the opposite. Or you could have a Hebrew proverb, a poetry, that would rhyme by stating something and then amplifying it and giving additional information. And so those are the three basic ways that Hebrew poetry would rhyme. That's what is the characteristic of poetry. It is a form of literature that has rhymes in it. And so Hebrew poetry rhymes with the thoughts corresponding one to another. And here in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, we see the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so he amplifies. It's what we would see as type 3. He gives more information about that. And the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. If we would have wisdom, we must begin with fearing God. He had said that in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. But here, he tells us that part of fearing God is that we would know God. We would stand in awe of God as God reveals more of who He is to us. And of course, Holy Scripture is God's self-revelation of Himself. Now, I want us to, as we think about this whole matter of knowing God, because God has revealed Himself, to go over to chapter 30 of Proverbs. And there's all kinds of speculation about exactly who. And I'm not going to go into all of the details of who we think Agur, the son of Jacob, was. That, in a sense, is irrelevant. The bottom line is, here was this man who confesses that left to himself, he is destitute of wisdom. And that he desperately needs God to teach him. And that the tool that God is going to use to reveal the glory of God so that he can fear God, so that he can have wisdom, is the Word of God. The Word that comes out of God's mouth. Holy Scripture. And so let's look at this. In verse 1, the man declares, "I'm weary, O God, I'm weary, O God, and worn out." Now, why was he worn out? Well, he was a man living in God's world, and he desperately needed to know what is what. Who God is, who He is, what's right, what's wrong. And he was weary because left to himself, he can't know these things. And so verse 2, "Surely I am too stupid to be a man. I have not the understanding of a man." Think about what Adam knew before the fall. Adam and Eve before the fall, they perfectly understood who God was, who they were, all good things. But since the fall, all of that has been marred, and unless God comes now and rescues us from the nightmare and the darkness of sin left to ourselves, we don't know any of these things. We know there is a God from creation. Our heart even testifies, but we have this horrifying problem of sin. And so in verse 3, "I have not learned wisdom, nor have I knowledge of the Holy One." You see, wisdom is wrapped up with knowing God. In verse 4, "Who has ascended to heaven and come down? Who has gathered the wind in his fist? Who has wrapped up the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and what is his son's name? Surely you know." Well, if God hadn't told us in his word, we would know that there is a creator just by looking around, but we couldn't know any of the details of who this great God is. And so this man now glories in the revelation of God. The revelation of God Himself in His Word. Look at verse 5 and 6. Every word of God proves true. Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. And so because God is a faithful God and His Word will be found faithful because it bears His character. Therefore, it's a tremendous blessing to those who get wisdom, who get knowledge of the Holy One, who learn from God Himself speaking by His Spirit through His Word, telling us who God is, who we are, what's right, what's wrong, what are the good paths, what are the paths that will lead to destruction. All of that comes from God Himself, and God speaks in His very Word. And so this man, as he thinks now about his own plight, his own experience, and how he rejoices that God has come to be his teacher and that God has spoken His Word, he gives this warning. Do not add to His words, lest He rebuke you and you be found a liar. And so we have the blessing offered in verse 5. He's a shield to those who take refuge in Him. And here's the warning. That's the promise. God will be a shield. He'll be a place of refuge to you. If you run to Jesus and embrace Him, confess your sin to Him, and keep turning from sin and self and say, Lord Jesus, I want to walk with You. I want to learn of You. He will be a shield to you. But if you modify His Word, if you set His Word aside, if you say, look, I know God has said this, but here's this other thing. He will rebuke you and you will be found a liar because God's Word will be true. Every word of God proves true. So, the Word of God reveals God, and Proverbs is part of the Word of God. And so, when we read the book of Proverbs in our everyday lives, what is it that we ought to be looking for? What is it that God would teach us? And you remember last Lord's Day, we looked and we saw that God reveals His standard of righteousness. And He does so to teach us of Jesus. He does to teach us that we need a Savior. If you'll turn with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 3. Here we have a passage of Scripture that says the Old Testament Scriptures and economy was like a guardian until Christ would come. And so we read in verse 23, now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came in order that we might be justified by faith. And over in the book of Romans chapter 7, here the Apostle Paul testifies and he says, the law of God does what? It teaches us that we need a Savior. In Romans chapter 7, we read in verse 10, the very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me and through it killed me. So the law is holy and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. Did that which is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin producing death in me through what is good in order that sin might be shown to be sin. And so back in verse 7, he says, what then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin, for I would not have known what it is to covet, if the law had not said, you shall not covet. But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. For apart from the law, sin lies dead. And so sin is the standard. The law is the standard of God, and sin is the breaking of that standard. And the law of God shows us our need of the Lord Jesus Christ. The law is our tutor to lead us to Christ. Well, after we become a lover of Jesus, after we become one who trusts in Jesus, in John chapter 14, verse 15, we read, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so after a person comes to know Jesus, the law of God and the Proverbs are the everyday applications of the law of God. And that's what we looked at last Lord's Day. And so the Proverbs, what should we learn when we look at the Proverbs? We learn of God's holy, righteous standards, and it shows us our need of Jesus. We ought to be constantly saying, Lord Jesus, forgive me and cleanse me and help me to bear fruit, this fruit in my life. Lord, let me take heed to the warnings and build my life on the promises of your word. That's what wisdom is. And when we read the book of Proverbs, that's what we ought to be looking for. What is it that we are learning about God's law being applied to everyday life? Well, there's something else that we want to learn from the book of Proverbs that's very closely related to that. And we see a hint of it here in Romans chapter 7. Notice how the law is described. Look at verse 12 of Romans chapter 7. So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. Now, holy and righteous and good are all adjectives describing God Himself. And God's law is a reflection of God's character. And so, not only when we read the book of Proverbs, should we be thinking, Lord, teach me of Jesus as I see the standard of right and wrong revealed in everyday life in these Proverbs. But we're also, in the book of Proverbs, going to be learning about the very character of God Himself, the perfections of God. And it's interesting, in our opening prayer this evening, there was reference made to learning and to worshiping God in light of who He is. And in that opening prayer, our elder made reference to the perfections of God. Now, what do we mean by the perfections of God? And some people use a different term to describe the perfections of God. They use a term called attributes, the attributes of God. In other words, the characteristics of God that He has revealed about Himself. But attributes could kind of sound a little cold, like you're in a laboratory and, you know, you're dissecting an animal and you're kind of figuring out what the characteristics or attributes of this creature is that you're dissecting. And primarily because of that danger, some of the old pastors said, well, it would be better for us to think of these characteristics of God rather in this kind of cold, calculated term that might mislead people into thinking that God ought to be looked at in that way, but to use the term perfections, that God is perfect. And here are the things about Himself that He tells us in His Word. And when we read the book of Proverbs, God is coming and He is showing us particular wonderful, glorious truths about who He is. And so we see that here in Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. And so if we would make good use of the book of Proverbs, not only are we going to be learning about the application of the Ten Commandments in everyday life, and that's going to teach us, if we rightly understand it, about Jesus, our need of Him, and then how to bear fruit for Him, but it's also going to be teaching us about the perfections of God. Who is this God who made the heavens and the earth? Who is the God who made me, who made you? Who is this Creator and Sustainer and Lawgiver and Judge and Redeemer who speaks in Holy Scripture? And so the book of Proverbs, it's not the only book in Scripture. We've got 66 books, but this is one of those 66 books. And in this book of Proverbs, God has much, not everything, but He has much to tell us about Himself that we need to pay careful attention to. The knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Standing in awe and reverence of who God is, that is the beginning of wisdom. Or, over in Proverbs chapter 30, you remember, here was the testimony of this man who said, "Oh, apart from God telling me who I am too stupid to be a man. I don't know anything. I don't know who I am. I don't know who God is. I don't know what's right and what's wrong. I don't know His paths." How I praise God for His Word. And that's a paraphrase of what we saw in Proverbs chapter 30. And so what I want us to do is I want us to think about some of the perfections of God and look at how we might be looking for these things and what it would do for us when we learn more of who our great God is from the book of Proverbs. First of all, let's go over to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And here we have God reminding us that He is a holy God. And we saw that in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. Insight, knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Knowledge of the Holy One. God is holy. He is set apart. He is perfect. And here we see in Proverbs chapter 3, in verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from" what? Evil. And so when you read something like that, turn away from evil, What should we be thinking? Ah, God's a holy God. And if I want to be close to Him, if I want to be His child, if I want to walk with Him, then I don't want to offend the Holy One. I want to be turning away from evil. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. So God is a holy God, the holiness of God. That's one of the perfections of God Almighty. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 8, Proverbs chapter 8, and here is God's wisdom personified. And look at verse 12. "I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. And so when we're reading in the Proverbs, when we read about the fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil, we think, ah, God's a holy God. And I don't want to be living against the Holy One. You see, not only the term Holy One, but the opposite. What's opposite of holiness? It's evil. It is all that is opposed to God Almighty. And so we want to walk with God. We want to learn of His standard. We want to live close to Him. He is the Holy One. Let's think about another perfection of God, the wrath of God. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. And here in verse 8, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, 'Come, let us lie in wait for blood, let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, let us swallow them alive and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all precious goods. We shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot among us. We will all have one purse. My son, do not walk with them. Hold back your foot from their paths, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird, but these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. Wisdom cries aloud in the street, in the market. She raises her voice. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gate, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you, because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." And so what does it mean to fear God? It means that we have insight in who the Holy God is. And the Holy God is a God of wrath. And He judges sin. And so when we read this in Proverbs, we go, "Oh Lord, don't let me be like this foolish young man who listens to his good time buddies who are leading him astray down the wrong path, and they are pretending that there's not a God who deals with sin." And here we see this spine-tingling warning of God's wisdom personified, saying, the day's going to come, if you keep walking down that road, you will be in big, big, big trouble, and you'll call to me, but it'll be too late. Too late. I'm not an airplane pilot, but when an airplane is taking off, there's a certain point when you go down a runway where it's too late to stop. You're too far down the runway, you can't stop before you crash at the end, and so it's the point of being committed, and you have to take off. You can't stop. And here is this picture of God telling this young man, warning this young man, that the God of the Bible He is a God of wrath. And that if you persist in doing what is wicked in God's sight, there's going to come a place where you've already committed to taking off. And there's not going to be any recourse. It's going to be a disaster. And so when we read the book of Proverbs, you need to be looking for the perfections of God. What is it that I need to be learning about you, O Lord, as I read these Proverbs? That the God of the Bible is a God who deals with sin. And so we say, Lord, make my heart soft and tender toward you today, that I would not be like this foolish young man who kept refusing to heed the message of God, and the day would come in his life when he would be in trouble and he would cry to the Lord saying, Lord, I need deliverance now. But the Lord says, because I offered and offered and offered and offered and you have chosen your path now, you're going to have to live with the consequences. Now that doesn't mean there's not forgiveness and mercy in the Lord Jesus, but think about King David. Think about King David. You see, King David forgot this truth that the God of the Bible is a God of wrath when he slept with Bathsheba. He ignored that truth. He set that truth aside. And the day came when the consequences of his sin he could not undo. She was carrying his child. He couldn't undo that. And then when he put Uriah the Hittite to death to try to cover his tracks, there was no undoing that. Now the Lord forgave him, but the consequences he had to live with. And so when we read the book of Proverbs, we're learning about the character of God. Another attribute or perfection of God that we see, look at Proverbs chapter 1, and here we see the amazing patience of God. And that's one of the perfections of God. And we see in verse 20, wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the market, she raises her voice. At the head in the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gate, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? You see, this wasn't just a one-time deal. She says, how long are you going to turn to your own ways? The patience of God. But as we saw, the patience of God, there's a time when in the experience here of this person that is being addressed in Proverbs 1, the patience of God was expended. But again, that's one of the perfections of God. And so when we read the Proverbs, we ought to be looking for who is God telling me he is? And then us responding appropriately. When we think about God's patience, what should it do? It ought to stir us up to praise God. It ought to stir us up to run to the Lord Jesus and say, Lord, oh, I thank you for how patient and kind you have been to me. I thank you, O Lord, for your incredible mercy. Speaking of mercy, that's another perfection that we see in the Proverbs. Look over in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 1. Proverbs 8, does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portal, she cries aloud to you, O men. I call, and my cry is to the children of man. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right. There we see the wisdom of God. God offering us the gospel. Over in Proverbs chapter 14, look at verse 31. And here we're going to learn something about a perfection of God, his mercy. Look at Proverbs 14, 31. Whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker. But he who is generous to the needy honors him, honors God. And what's that teaching us? It's teaching us about the mercy of God. It's teaching us about the character, the perfection of God, that God is a God who delights in mercy. He's been merciful to us, and he wants us to show his mercy to the people around us. The wicked is overthrown through his evil doing, but the righteous finds refuge in his death. So here we have a reference to the mercy of God. Look at Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, another proverb that reminds us about the mercy of God. Proverbs 22, verse 22, "Do not rob the poor because he is poor, or crush the afflicted at the gate. For the Lord will plead their cause and rob of life those who rob them. Make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. Be not one of those who give pledges, who put up security for debts. If you have nothing with which to pay, why should your bed be taken from under you?" And so the reason I kept reading is this mercy that God calls upon us to show, you see, it's not a mercy that is based upon giving regardless of people's circumstances. Here we see God in verse 26 and 27 saying, "Now don't become surety for other people." Look at Proverbs chapter 23. Verses 10 and 11, and here is a call for us to not move the landmarks or enter the fields of the fatherless. Why? Verse 11, "For their Redeemer is strong, and he will plead their cause against you." And so one of the characteristics of biblical Christianity down through the millennium has been a people who love to show mercy. Why? Because God shows mercy to us, and we learn of his mercy in the Proverbs. The perfections of God are revealed all over in these Proverbs. If we would just stop and think, "Now, God, what are you teaching me about yourself? What do you want me to learn of you? What do you want me to be doing?" Look at Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 21. "If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink. For you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you." God delights in mercy. We think about the sovereignty of God, another perfection of God. Look over in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1. "The king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will." And so when we read in the book of Proverbs, the standard of right and wrong, the holiness of God, we see the patience of God, we see the mercy of God, we see the sovereignty of God, the holiness of God, that this God who reveals himself and speaks, he calls upon us to be a people who bow before him and love him. Now, I had planned at this point for us to read all the way through chapter 21 and chapter 22 and to just think about these particular proverbs in terms of a God who is ruling on high to bring the blessings or bring the chastenings home. And you see, again, it's not just verses that have the term sovereignty in it, but all of the proverbs as we read them are reminding us that the God who sees is the God who's the sovereign God. That is ruling over this universe. We'll just look at a few of them. Look at verse 2. "Every man Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. There's a sovereign God who's saying, you may think you're doing right in your own eyes, but Almighty God, the sovereign of the universe, He's the one who's going to decide. Look at verse 3. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. You remember over in Psalm 51, when David was confessing his sin, he said, bulls and goats and sacrifices you do not delight in. Now, God had commanded all of those things, but He was getting at the heart of the matter. He said, a broken and a contrite spirit, O God, you will not despise. And so here's this sovereign God who's the judge of all the earth. Look at verse 4. Haughty eyes and a proud heart, the lamp of the wicked are sin, and the plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance. But everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a snare of death. There's a sovereign God who rules over our lives. And we ought to love and trust and obey and follow Him. Well, let's just consider a couple more of these perfections before we stop. Let's look over in Proverbs chapter 8. Another perfection of God is what we refer to as the majesty of God. And we also want to think, as we look at these verses, about the wisdom of God. That's another perfection. And the fact that God knows all things. He's omniscient. He knows everything. And I want you to think about that. As we read in the Proverbs, God is reminding us and revealing to us His perfections, that we would fear Him and have wisdom and life as we trust and follow the Lord Jesus. Look at Proverbs chapter 8. Verses 12 and following. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. And so when we read this, we say, now, Lord, You're the one that we don't want to be living against. I don't want to be proudful. I don't want to be arrogant. I don't want to be somebody who comes across as an arrogant man, an arrogant woman. We want to look to God. Verse 14, I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree what is just. Do you see the majesty of God here? That God's wisdom, He says, this is what the kings of the earth, if they're going to rule, they borrow, whether they acknowledge it or not, from Almighty God. By me princes rule and nobles, all who govern justly. You remember Nebuchadnezzar's testimony in Daniel chapter 4? He says, God, You're the one who puts people in positions of power, and You remove them according to Your good pleasure. And so here we see the majesty of God. I love those who love me. And those who seek me diligently find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the paths of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me, and filling their treasuries. And so here we see the goodness of God, as well as His majesty. God's good. He gives us good gifts. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of His work, the first of His acts of old. Ages ago I was set up, at the first, before the beginning of the earth, when there were no depths I was brought forth, when there were no springs abounding with water. Just stop and think about what a blessing water is. Do you enjoy, you know, good, nice, clean glass of water? springs and the whole source of the water table. What an amazing God is the God of the Bible. And so everywhere we look in the book of Proverbs, as all of Scripture, we're being confronted with this great God who made the heavens and the earth, who made us, who rules over the universe in splendor and majesty, who is the judge of all the earth, and who says he knows all things, he sees all things, and he is the faithful true God who is good and gives good gifts to his children. And so we could go on and on. I had a bunch more of the perfections just to look at from the standpoint, but that's practically one of the things that we want to be learning and growing in as we make our everyday use of the book of Proverbs. We want to be learning of Jesus so that we would learn to trust Him. He's our shield. You remember Proverbs 30? When we learn about who this God is, it's a shield. And our call to worship, Psalm 27. What was it that the psalmist said he needed as he's on the run and his life is being threatened? He said, here's the thing I need. I need to go and worship the Lord so that I can behold His beauty and learn of Him. That's the most important thing. And so as we read the book of Proverbs, we're going to be seeing the character of God so that we would learn of Him, to trust in Him, to worship Him, to find comfort and strength in Him. You remember over in the book of Daniel in chapter 11, Daniel said that those who know their God, those who know their God, will be bold and take action. Do you want to have strength to do what's right? Well, you have to know God. And the book of Proverbs is one of these 66 books that reveals to us the character, the perfections of Almighty God. Well, we don't want to be like Agur. I'm weary, O God. I'm weary and worn out. I am too stupid to be a man. That's not the way we want to live. And the only cure for that is to know God. To know the character of God. He had not learned wisdom. He did not have knowledge of the Holy One. But praise God, God had come and revealed to him His glory. In the Lord Jesus Christ from all of Scripture. And so this is our testimony. Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge to Him. And we say with Agur, we don't want to add to God's Word. We don't want God to rebuke us and us to be found a liar. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we pray that You would help us to make good, practical use that You intend from this very rich little book, the book of Proverbs. Father, we have looked at so many themes in the book of Proverbs. And Lord, we pray that You would not allow us to lose sight of who You are. Oh Lord, as we considered learning of You from the law of God so that we would see our need of Jesus and then learn of Your paths, Lord Jesus. So tonight, Lord, as we think about all of Your perfections, not only Your righteousness and goodness and holiness, but Lord, Your patience and Your wrath and Your mercy, Lord, the offer of the gospel, tell us to trust in You with all our heart and not lean on our own understanding. To in all of our ways acknowledge You and You will direct our paths. And so, Lord, help us to learn of You, to gain knowledge of you, the Holy One, so that we would fear you, so that we would have wisdom, so that these proverbs would come alive in our everyday lives as we hear your voice, Lord Jesus, calling us and leading us and growing us to love you, to love the people around us, to stand for you in this day, to bear much fruit for your praise. Hear our cry and bless us, Lord, as we read and seek to live in the wisdom of God, in you, Lord Jesus, and to use this portion of Scripture, the book of Proverbs. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Well, please turn with me in your hymnals, and we will sing hymn number 600. Hymn number